Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the seventh and final aliyah of the Sidra or Parsha of Miketz. Vayamaher Yosef ki nechmer rachamav velachiv vayivakesh livkot vayavo achadra vayeft shama. This is chapter 53, verse 30. The aliyah begins there. And it reads like this: and because his love, that is Joseph's love, burned for his brother, and he needed to cry, Joseph hurried and went into a room and cried there. The word rachamim in Hebrew means to have mercy, but in Aramaic it means love, and I think that's the sense here. The word actually comes from the noun rechem, which is a womb, because it describes, and the idea is that the way a mother feels for her baby in a womb, that's what rachamim is. So mercy works very well, but so does love, and I think that definitely fits here a little bit better. Vayirchat panav, vayetzei, vayitapak, vayomar simu lachem. Then he washed his face, and he came out, and he drew strength, meaning he got himself together, and he commanded that food be set. Vayasimu lo levado, v'lahem levadam, v'la mitzrim ha'ochlim ito levadam, ki lo yuchlun ha'mitzrim le'echol et ha'ivrim lechem, and they, the servants, placed him alone, that is, Joseph ate by himself, or at least separately, there must have been some divider of some sort, and them, that is, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who were eating with him alone, so essentially you have three distinct groups, because the Egyptians were not permitted or not able to eat food with the Hebrews, since it was an abomination for the Egyptians. Why it was an abomination is not entirely clear. Joseph is clearly eating alone because he's the vizier. He sits by himself. The Egyptians wouldn't eat with the Hebrews, and some commentators say, based on Midrash material, it's because they were shepherds, which was an unacceptable profession, a disgusting profession in the eyes of the Egyptians. Ibn Ezra says it's because the Hebrews ate meat, they ate sheep, and the Egyptians did not eat meat at all, vegetarians, but I don't think that's supported by our knowledge of history. Probably the Hebrews were just thought of as near slaves. And in fact, there's a word, Habiru, similar to the word Hebrew. That's probably not, the Jews were called Hebrews probably because they crossed Avar, the Jordan River, that Abraham crossed the Jordan River, or it's possible that their ancestor was named Aver, of Shem and Aver. But a similar word, when they called themselves the Hebrews, the Egyptians heard their word, Habiru, which means slaves, and they probably considered the Hebrews, the Israelite tribe, nothing but slaves, and therefore wouldn't eat with them. So that's a possibility as well. Vayeshvu lefanav ha-bechor kivchorato, vatzair kitzirato, vayitzmehu anashim ish el reyehu. We get a lot of detail here, and it's hard to say whether all of this detail, the food was set here and they're set apart. You know, in the Torah, everything really needs to be significant. But there's a lot of detail here, and I must admit, I fail to be able to see super significance or spiritual significance to all the details. One could say it's just there to make the story more readable and more effective. But one senses that there's more here than meets the eye, that we need to know somehow that they're eating separately and that they're put in the right order. I mean, that's just to, I mean, is there a real goal just to sort of freak them out, or is it trying to show that Joseph has some kind of supernatural powers, and does that have a religious significance? But a lot of the details, I think, are really hard to place exactly what the significance is, or I do. If you have your own ideas, so that would be great. I'd love to hear them. Anyway, getting back to the verse, and they, the brothers, sat before him, that is sort of close to him, or opposite him, the oldest according to his seniority, and the youngest according to his youth, meaning in age order, wrote. So Reuven first, and Binyamin last. Joseph apparently had them sit down in age order, and the men shared amazement with each other that they were amazed at what Joseph was able to do. Vayisa masaot me'et panav aleihem, vaterev masat Binyamin mimasaot kulam chamesh adot, Vayishdu vayishkiru imo, and gifts were carried from before him, which means they brought gifts, food or probably actually maybe some kind of wealth, from before Joseph, that is, they picked it up from his table, and he would, you know, tell them to go carry it over to the various brothers. And it says that the gifts for Binyamin were 5 measures greater than the gifts for all of them. Either that means that individually his was greater than any other one of the other brothers by 5 times, or it might even mean combined all the other brothers together and Binyamin's was still 5 times greater. And then the verse says, and they drank and they became drunk with him. The party is over at this point. Although the test that Joseph is going to put them through starts at the party and is going to continue on. But we begin now chapter 44, and Joseph begins his final test, although it won't be finished until the next parsha, Parshat Vayigash. Vayitzav et asher al beito lemor maleit am tichot anashim ochel kasher yuchlun se'et v'sim kesef ish b'fi Amtachto. So we've seen this trick before. And he commanded the one who was in charge of his house, saying, fill up the bags of the men with food. That is, fill them up with food, as much as they can carry. And place silver in the mouth of each one's bag, which means that it would be found by everyone right away in the motel. Now that's different than what happened before, because there, it was just the one of them, maybe Levi, who had it set up for immediate discovery. The rest of them were well hidden, so they wouldn't discover it until they got all the way back to Canaan. But here, they're kind of all set up by Joseph to discover it, at once. The word kesef ish, kfi amtachto, means that whatever money, again, the money that was put there matched the money that the brothers had paid individually for their particular, baggage of food, of supplies. Ve'et gvi'i, gvi'a kesef, tasim b'fi amtacha lakaton, ve'et kesef shivro, vayas kidvar Yosef asher diber. And my chalice, the silver chalice, place which must have been some special chalice significant of power and stature. We'll see some say it was a magic chalice, but I don't think that's the likely translation. But he says, place it in the mouth, that is, at the top of the bag of the youngest, along with the money for the supplies. So Binyamin also gets the money of the supplies, and probably right underneath that, Joseph has his master of his house put in the silver chalice as well. Haboker or vanashim shulachu hema b'chamoram. The day became light. The word or is a verb, not a noun. That's not how it's used in modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew people say boker or, which means a light day, but it really means the day became light. And as soon as the day became light, the men were sent off shulachu, they and their donkeys. Again, there's some detail that I'm not sure what to make out of. Again, this emphasis on first they were worried that they would be taken and their donkeys, and now they were the sent with their donkeys. And why the emphasis on the donkeys? And I leave it up to you, the listener, to investigate and see why these, you know, very fine details are being described here. Him yatzu et ha'ir lo hirchiku v'Yosef amar l'asher al beito kum redof achrei anashim v'hisagtam v'amarta lehem lama shilamtem shura'a tachatova. As they exited the city, that is the city limits, but not too far, Joseph told the one who was in charge of his house to get up and chase after the men and catch them and say to them, why did you pay me back ill in exchange for good? Meaning the good that I did for you, the meal, the money, freeing Shimon, all those things, and you do ill by me. What ill is he talking about? Well, halo zeh asher yishteh aduni bo, v'hu nachesh nachesh bo, harei otem asher asitem. Isn't this the thing my master drinks from? And he is nachesh nachesh from it. What you did was bad. Now, Evan Ezra points out some possible meanings for the difficult nachesh nachesh. One is that it means he tested you with it to see if you would swipe it from the table. So why did you dare to do such a thing? But a more natural read of the word nachesh, which usually means some kind of sorcery or you know, a spellcraft or spells of some kind. So a more natural read would be my master does sorcery with it. But that's kind of weird for Joseph. I mean, even, you know, Joseph is you know, the ultimate monotheist, and he wasn't shy about sharing that, and even though now he's become a good Egyptian, it seems very strange for him to use a cup for that kind of method. So Ibn Ezra presents a third possibility and says that it's not that Joseph did a soothsaying with it, but when he lost it, it was so precious to him that he actually went as far as sending for soothsayers to define where the cup went, which means don't you expect to get away with this because that's his favorite cup, and he'll go so far as to get magicians to tell him exactly where it is, and that's how he knows where it is. So don't you lie to us. So he, that is the master of the house, caught up with them. He spoke to them like this, like Joseph told them to do. Now, the bags aren't open yet, so he's accusing them of having the cup, even though they haven't seen the cup or the silver, by the way, that's at the top of their bags. He's just saying that I know you have it because Joseph sent for sorcerers or soothsayers to tell him exactly where it was. And they said to him, why do you say these things? It is impossible, or heaven forfend, that your servants would do such a thing. Behold, the cash that we found in our bags, we return to you. Meaning, that is, we return to you from the land of Canaan, meaning that the cash that was sent with us accidentally or as an accidental gift or as just a random find, we brought it back the first time. We didn't have to. We could have left it at home. So why would we go out of our way to return it to you if we were just going to steal it again? So what they said is we wouldn't steal neither silver or gold. Now, remember that they've been doubly set up. One set up is the money that was once again returned into their bags, which is easy to detect because it's at the mouth of everyone's bag. So they must have opened up the bags and seen the money and said, listen, don't accuse us of stealing. This is ridiculous. We brought it back to you. We wouldn't have taken all the trouble to bring it back to you just to steal it again. We could have left the whole thing home the first time. But the silver chalice is another thing. So essentially they say, you know, we would never steal any silver or gold, not our policy. However, I believe I found the gold, the silver. I believe it. If it showed up magically in our bag the first time, then whoever's dumping it there, dumped it there the second time. But when it comes to the chalice, asher yimatzei ito me'avadecha v'mate, v'gam anachnu nihyeh l'adoni la'avadim. Whoever it is found, that is the chalice is found from your servants, should die. And the rest of us will be servants, that is the ones who isn't in the bag, by the very fact that we're together as a team, we will be slaves to our master. Now, of course, this is a very dangerous game. It was one played by Yaakov and Rachel when Lavan was chasing after his trafim, and Yaakov could not believe that anybody would have taken such a thing when, in fact, Rachel did, for reasons that we won't get into at this point, that are beyond the scope of this class, and it really did not turn out well. So once again, we're kind of playing this dangerous game, and in fact, the thing is indeed in their possession. Vayomer gam ata kidvrechem keinu asher yimatzei ito yeli aved v'atem tiyu nikiyim. And he, the head of Joseph's house, said, so too now, your words are just so, which means you're speaking correctly. Whoever has it found by him, that is the chalice, will be a servant, but the rest of you will be innocent. Now, since at the beginning of that verse he says that their words should be just so, that means he agrees with them. But at the second part of the sentence, he completely disagrees with them, since they said death for the one who the chalice is found by, and everybody else would be slaves. And he says, no, slavery for the one who's found the chalice, and everybody else goes home free. So how could he say he agrees with what they said in the first part of the verse? So it seems that the verse really needs to break up in two. When he says, Vayomer gam atah kidvrechem keinu, that I agree with what you're saying, that's referring to the cash that they've just found, that's just dumped out of their luggage. He says, I agree with you. Even if we find the cash in the bag, there's no reason to assume that you took it, since you didn't have to bring it back in the first place, and therefore it must be you just have the luck of the Irish, so to speak. But as far as the issue of the chalice, I disagree with you. There I disagree. No one dies, and they do not all become slaves. And Yosef probably, you know, it was Yosef's mother who essentially paid the price for that kind of promise of death for anybody who would find something in their bags when the truffle were actually there. So no doubt Yosef has given his man very strict instructions to say, that's not the way we're going to play this. Nobody's going to die. Let's not play this game of I'm so sure it would never happen, because you never know what might happen. Especially because Joseph knows exactly what will happen, because the chalice is in Binyamin's bag for the test, which will come at a later time. And they hurried and lowered each one his bag to the ground, because they were quite sure that they're innocent, and each one opened his bag. And they searched from the eldest, that is Reuben, to the youngest Binyamin, and they found the chalice in the baggage of Binyamin. According to one commentary, the reason why they start with the oldest and go down to the youngest is so they shouldn't think that it's a setup. They are like pretending that they don't really know where it is, even though they know exactly where it is. Now, obviously, they found the cash too, but as I said, he had agreed that that couldn't be theft. Still, once they find the chalice by Binyamin, they're in trouble, essentially, because even according to the lighter punishment, which Yosef is saying, that the person who found the chalice by him will be a slave, not die, but be a slave. But don't forget that they promised to bring Binyamin home, and in fact, Yehuda put his life on the line for it. So they ripped their cloaks, because this is really a bad, bad situation. And each man loaded up his donkey, and they returned to the city, where, of course, Joseph was. So Yehuda and his brothers come into Joseph's house, and he, Joseph, was still there, and they fall before him to the ground. Now, no, Yehuda is taking the lead here. They're not brought into the house, as it stated before, but Yehuda takes them into the house. We are clearly setting up for a Yehuda-Yosef showdown, which is brewing, a powerhouse leader of one kind versus a powerhouse leader of another. And Joseph said to them, what have you done? Or really, what made you do this thing? Did you not know that a man like me will cast spells? Meaning, apparently bring a supernatural force to discover where my precious things are, where my precious chalice is. Of course, we can read it the other way, that a man like me is able to do this kind of sorcery and therefore detect where it is. In which case, there may be some kind of religious test going on, as if Yosef is testing Yehuda to see what will respond to that. But I'll go with a simpler translation to say that a man like me will certainly bring other people to divine where the chalice is, and you can't get away with it, so why did you try? Vayomer Yehuda, ma nomar la Adoni, ma nedaber uma nitzdadak, ha'Elohim matza et avon avadecha, hinenu avadim la Adoni, gam anachnu. So Yehuda says, what can we say to my master? What can we argue, and how can we found to be just in this particular trial or court case? God has found out the sins of your servants. We are, behold, slaves to my master, both the one who found the cup by him and the rest of us as well. So Yehuda, who once convinced the brothers to make a profit on the sale of Joseph, is going to bat for Binyamin. Even though the master of Joseph's house said that only the one found with the cup would be a slave, Yehuda won't let Binyamin face his fate alone. Either all of them are going to be slaves. Either it's all for one and one for all. It's like the musketeers. And not only that, but Yehuda is using the name of God, which may therefore be in contrast with Yosef's pretending to be some kind of sorcerer. You think you're the one who found our sin? It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you and your sorcery and your Egyptian ways. I'll tell you what it was, he says. We have guilt, and it is God who found our guilt. It is because of God that all of this is happening to us. But Joseph is still not satisfied, neither by the religiosity of Yehuda, or is willing to go to bat for Binyamin. He is going to push Judah even farther to see how far he's willing to go. Vayomer chalila li me'asot zot ha'ish asher nimtza gvi abiyado, hu yeli la'eved v'atem alu l'shalom el avichem. And he, Joseph, said, heaven forfend that I would do this. The man, meaning only the one, who the chalice is found by him, he will be a slave, which means Binyamin becomes my slave. The rest of you go home to your father. Of course, Yehuda is not going to take the sitting down because of the vow he made for his father, because of the clear dedication he has, even to Rachel's children, because of his sense of right and wrong, because of his knowledge that God is the one who is testing him with all this, or at least he thinks so, and that is really partially what it is. Unfortunately, you'll have to wait for Parshat Vayigash to actually see the showdown between Yehuda and Yosef, now that Yehuda is pushed into a corner. That is the completion of Parshat Miketz.